There are seven of us. We need to trust each other. We have each other's backs, no matter what. And so, with our hands on our weapons and the twins leading the way, we headed toward the Hydra's cave, ready to fight. Chapter 45. The entrance to the cave was as tall as a two-story house, and nearly as wide. Heat emanated from the inside and warmed my face, a stark difference from the brisk February air.
So we just go in? Chris asked.
I guess so. Kate looked at us all, her expression serious. But remember, do not cut off a Hydra head unless Blake is ready with the flames. We need to cut off all of the Hydra's heads to kill it and gather its blood. But if Blake isn't there to cauterize the next stump, two heads will grow back in its place. So if Blake isn't there, pull back. Even if you have an opportunity to chop off a head, it isn't worth the risk. Got it, I said, touching the sword strapped to my hip. We all carried swords today, along with our usual weapon of choice, because a sword was the best weapon to chop off a head. I wasn't as proficient with the sword as I was with the bow, but I could manage. At least, I could in practice.
I'll fly Blake up there to cauterize the stumps, Chris added. I'll make sure he's close enough that he can still aim, but far enough from the other heads not to get attacked.
We've been through this a million times, Rachel said, fidgeting as she peered inside the cave. What are we waiting for? Let's go inside. Without checking to see if we were coming, she led the march into the cave. Of course, we all followed her. I supposed she knew we would. And while it was brave that she didn't appear scared, and there was a part of me that wished I could be as brave as she was, it also never hurt anyone to be a little more cautious. We walked for about 5 minutes, keeping watch for any sudden movements. I was trying to be so quiet that I was barely letting myself breathe. Then we heard the sound of something banging, like a boulder falling onto the ground. It was followed by another bang, and then another, and another, in a pattern that sounded eerily like the footsteps of a giant animal. Then there was a roar so loud that it shook the walls, and a line of fire blazed through the cave.
Everybody down,
Blake yelled, and we did as he said, the fire barely missing our heads. He had his lighter out and a ball of fire growing in his hand, ready to strike back. Another line of fire raced through the cave, but this time Blake raised his hands in the air like a shield, stopping the fire in its path. It singed the walls of the cave and disappeared. I was glad he resisted turning the flame back around at the Hydra. We wouldn't be able to get any blood from the monster if it was burned to a crisp. More footsteps boomed through the cave until the creature turned a corner, and we were staring into the eyes of the biggest monster I'd ever seen. Dragons didn't exist. At least, I didn't think they did. But I would guess that this creature was where the myths had come from. It was so tall that its heads, all five of them, nearly brushed the ceiling of the cave. Pointed scales traveled all the way up each of its necks, like the scariest mohawk in existence. Its eyes glowed an eerie shade of greenish yellow, and its mouths were all open, its fangs dripping with venom and ready to attack. I backed up to the wall and glanced behind me. How long would it take to run out of here? Not long enough, as I doubted I could outrun this creature, whose legs were taller than I was. And I couldn't leave now. I couldn't desert my friends. They were counting on me. And I would never be able to forgive myself if any of them died because I was too afraid to fight. Plus, while the Hydra was terrifying, we weren't without weapons either. The ones we carried with us, and the ones we could create with our powers. I ran my fingers over my bow and took a deep breath. We could do this. The gods believed in us enough to send us here. If they believed in us, then I had to believe in us too. I steadied my stance and turned my gaze up to the Hydra. It stared down at us, as if challenging us to make a move first. Let's first try to injure it from far away. I spoke quietly and didn't move, as to not encourage the Hydra to pounce. That way, it'll be weakened when we're fighting from closer up.
Good plan, Kate agreed. On three, use whatever long-range weapon you have and aim for its legs. If we can injure its legs, it won't be able to walk, and we'll have a huge advantage. Blake, you keep on shielding us from the fire. Everyone ready?
I strung my bow and nodded, keeping my eyes locked on the Hydra.
One, two, three.
I unleashed my arrow straight into the Hydra's legs. Gunshots popped in the air from Kate and Ethan, along with the flashes of silver of Chris's knives. Most of our weapons hit their intended target, except for a few arrows that Rachel had attempted to shoot. I smiled in victory, sending another arrow straight into one of its hind legs. Then all of the Hydra heads growled. A horrible, screeching sound, so loud that it took all of my effort not to move my hands away from my bow to cover my ears. Its balance wavered, and I waited for it to fall, confident that we'd weakened it. But then four of the heads leaned down, pulled arrows and knives out of its legs, and dropped them onto the ground, like they were nothing more than irritating splinters. The center head unleashed another blaze of fire at us, but it hit Blake's invisible shield and died out. It blinked a few times, as if surprised we were still alive and not burnt to a crisp. Then it dug its claws into the ground, curled its lips, and charged. Chapter 46. Chris held his hands in the air, creating a burst of wind strong enough to push the Hydra back and pin it to the back wall. It reached its necks forward and chomped at the air, but it was too far away to touch us.
I can't keep this up for much longer, Chris yelled over the rush of the wind. We need another way to hold it back.
Kate, I said her name, whipping my head around to look at her. You said you wanted to use the tree roots to tie up the Hydra's legs.
I said that when we thought we were fighting it outside, near the trees, she said. Not in the cave.
This cave is in a hill, and on the hill, there were trees, I said. The roots have to be nearby.
But I can't see those roots, she said. And even if I could, they wouldn't be long enough.
Danielle narrowed her eyes at Kate.
If they aren't long enough, then make them grow, she said, through gritted teeth.
I could make them move if I were able to see them, she said, her voice rising in panic. I can't make them grow. That's impossible.
Yes, you can. I tried to sound confident, even though I couldn't be sure if what I was saying was correct. When we first developed our powers, you were able to make the plants in our science lab experiment grow, even the ones without sunlight.
But that took a few days, she said. I can't make them grow in seconds.
How long it took doesn't matter, I said, hoping I was right about this. The important thing is that you can make them grow. Just focus. Chris glanced at us over his shoulder, his hair flying in the wind.
I'm losing energy, he warned. You have to try. If you don't, then we all might end up as Hydra snacks.
Fine.
Kate kneeled down, placed her hands on the ground, and took a deep breath.
I'll do my best.
She closed her eyes, and for a few seconds, nothing happened. I held my bow steady in front of myself, ready to let loose as many arrows as possible in case Chris lost his hold of the wind. But then the cave walls rumbled. And this time, it wasn't because of the Hydra. I glanced back at Kate and saw the ground under her hands quivering, rippling from the point where she touched it, along the ground and up the walls. There was a drilling sound, and then tree roots cracked through the rock, four of them in all, and grew outward. Finally, they reached the Hydra, twisting themselves around each one of its legs. The Hydra grunted and tried to lift its legs, but it couldn't budge. It was stuck in place. Chris finally dropped his arms down to his sides, and the rush of wind stopped, silence ringing through the air. Kate stood up and brushed the dirt off her palms. With the Hydra trapped, we had time to breathe. For now. Are you both okay? I asked them. How much energy did you use?
I don't think I could do that again right now, but I'll be able to fight, Kate said.
Good, I nodded and turned to Chris. What about you? I asked him. You'll still be able to lift Blake so he can cauterize the Hydra's necks, right?
Yeah,
he said.
As long as I only lift him when he needs to get up there, I'll be okay. Although, I've gotta admit, I'm sort of regretting not saving that mint from Zeus to use now.
We saved 6 lives by using it when we did, I reminded him. We did the right thing.
But what good is it if we don't get out of this cave alive? He asked.
We will get out of here alive, Blake said. All of us. The Hydra's trapped. All we need to do is kill it, take its blood, and get out of here. At that, the Hydra sent her head. The only one that could breathe fire unleashed another blaze in our direction. Blake raised his arm and blocked it, seeming completely unfazed by the Hydra's attempts to incinerate us. Danielle, on the other hand, shook out her hair and scowled.
That is getting seriously annoying, she said, raising her hands and shooting a stream of water straight down the Hydra's throat.
The center head coughed and sputtered, like when a drink goes down the wrong pipe, but much louder. Once its fit was over, it opened its mouth to unleash more fire. But this time, nothing came out. Instead, it let out an infuriated growl, although it ended up choking again and coughing water onto the ground. Danielle lowered her hands and smiled in victory.
It can't create fire when its throat is soaking wet, she said. Just like I thought.
How long will it hold? I asked her.
I don't know, she said, but I would guess until the water evaporates.
That should be all the time we need, Rachel said, unleashing another arrow at it out of spite. It missed the Hydra and bounced against the wall. She swung the bow around her back. At least she realized she was hopeless with shooting and unsheathed her sword.
Let's slay this ugly monster and get out of here.
Chapter 47. Rachel charged towards the Hydra, holding her sword high in the air. We all followed, ready with our weapons. I allowed myself to fall behind everyone else, staying out of the Hydra's range, just like we'd planned. I needed to be ready in case any of the others got injured and needed me to heal them. I hated that I had to stay back, but I also understood, to increase our chances of survival, I needed to stay safe. Rachel reached the Hydra, jumped high in the air, and swung her sword at one of the far-end heads, chopping it clean off.
Blake, she said, turning around to search for him. I need fire.
But Blake was helping Chris fight the head on the opposite end, and Chris slashed off that head right when Rachel called for Blake. She was supposed to have waited to cut off a head until Blake was next to her and ready. But of course, Rachel's impulsiveness hardly surprised me. I bet she just wanted to say that she'd been the first to take off one of the heads. Now, without even waiting for Blake, she was already fighting the head next to the neck she'd just decapitated. And Ethan was by her side, helping her.
I'll be there soon, Blake told her, as Chris flew him up in the air so he could reach the neck of the head that Chris had just chopped off.
The others were all fighting the head next to him, holding it off from attacking him. He flicked on his lighter, expanded the fire until it was the size of a basketball, and lowered it to the neck's open flesh. It sizzled on contact, and the smell of cooked meat filled the cave. As Blake was cauterizing the neck, Ethan sliced off the head that he and Rachel were attacking. The twins cheered and gave each other a high five. But before they finished celebrating, the neck that Rachel had decapitated first started to rise. Within seconds, two Hydra heads grew in its place, and one of them dove straight for Rachel.
"Rachel!" I screamed to her. "Watch out!"
She turned around just in time to face the Hydra as it chomped down on her arm, its fang piercing straight through her shoulder. Ethan screamed, and when the Hydra opened its mouth again, he grabbed Rachel's other arm and pried her out of its grasp, pulling her to the side of the cave. As they moved away, Chris flew Blake over to cauterize the neck that Ethan had chopped off. But as he lowered the ball of fire at the open neck, the Hydra freed one of its legs from the roots wrapped around it. It lurched forward, and the center head wrapped its mouth around Blake, its fangs piercing his stomach.
"Blake!"
I yelled his name, running towards him. I didn't care if I was putting myself in harm's way. All I cared about was saving Blake. I watched helplessly as Chris used his power to pull Blake out of the Hydra's grasp and lower him to the ground. How had that happened so quickly? Blake had been fine seconds ago. Now, he held his hands over the hole in his stomach, staring at the blood gushing through his fingers, powerless to do anything to stop it.
"It burns,"
he told me as I fell to his side. His voice was so quiet that I could barely hear him over the sounds of the others fighting the Hydra.
"Like it's on fire."
"I'll heal it," I told him, moving his hands off the injury. I gasped when I saw it. His blood bubbled as it poured out of the wound, the skin around it a sickly shade of gray. It was like he'd been poisoned.
"You need to go find Rachel,"
he said, straining to get each word out.
"She was hurt first. She needs you."
I placed my hands over his wound and held my gaze with his. "Your injury's worse than hers," I said, although I would have gone to him first no matter what. I would never be able to focus on healing someone else. Not when I knew that Blake needed me. So without allowing him to argue any further, I called on the white energy and sent it into his body, my eyes locked with his the entire time. "You're going to be okay," I told him, although I wasn't sure if I was saying it for his benefit or for mine. "I promise you'll be okay." He nodded and gave me a small smile. Despite his telling me to go to Rachel first, I could tell he was grateful that I'd stayed with him. Once the energy could find nothing more to heal, I lifted my hand and ran my fingers over the smooth skin of his stomach. I was finally able to breathe again when I saw that I'd done it. I'd healed him. He sat up, his face inches from mine, watching me with so much intensity that my heart leaped into my throat. I'd come so close to losing him. But he was here, and he was okay. And I couldn't believe that I hadn't told him about my feelings for him before coming into this fight. I needed to tell him. Right now. But I couldn't find the words to begin. So I did the only thing I could think to do to get across my feelings. I leaned forward and pressed my lips against his. He kissed me back, his lips so warm and alive. But then he pulled away, breathing steadily and resting his forehead against mine.
"Nicole."
He said my name, his voice soft and raspy. I tasted salt on my lips. Tears. I must have been crying and not even realized it.
"You have no idea how long I've been wanting to do that again."
He caressed my cheeks with his fingers, as if making sure I were real.
"But we can't. Not now. I have to help the others. And you have to heal Rachel."
"You're right," I said, allowing him to take my hands and help me up. Standing on my tiptoes, I kissed him again, and then forced myself to break away. He nodded at me. I knew he was telling me to do what was right. So I turned around and hurried to Rachel's side. She laid on the ground near the side of the cave, staring up at the ceiling. Ethan hunched over her. His hands covered the place where the Hydra's fangs had pierced her shoulder, as if he was trying to heal her himself. Not wanting to startle him, I placed my hand on his shoulder, letting him know I was there. He stiffened at my touch, although he didn't turn around. I need to see the wound, I told him gently, so I can heal her. The moment he pulled away, I knew it was too late. The skin around the hole where the fang had pierced through Rachel's shoulder was cracked and blackened. All her veins had expanded, her complexion now a sickly shade of gray. It was as if her blood had been poisoned. Given what Blake had said about how his injury had burned, I suspected that was the case. Her eyes were glazed over, lifeless. I knew she was dead before placing my hands on her wound and sensing no energy coming from her body. I can't. I shook my head and stared down at the ground. She's gone.
No,
Ethan said, and I forced myself to meet his gaze, knowing I couldn't avoid it forever. He narrowed his eyes at me, his jaw clenched in anger.
She can't be gone, he said. You said you wouldn't let anything happen to us.
Back on the yacht, when you first rescued us from the Lotus Eaters.
You promised.
I'm so sorry, I whispered, barely able to talk around the lump in my throat. I pulled my hands off Rachel's body and moved away from her, not wanting to touch her for a moment longer. The unnatural hugeness of her swollen, discolored veins against her pale skin was so inhuman, it made me feel sick. There's nothing I can do.
You haven't even tried.
He grabbed my wrists, forcing my hands back on the blackened wound. I tried to pull away, but he was so strong that I couldn't move.
At least try,
he said, his lips up right against my ear.
You promised you could heal her.
I can't. Tears fell from my eyes as I tried to escape his grasp again, sizzling when they landed on Rachel's poisoned skin. She's gone. I can't bring her back. Just shut up and try. His grip tightened around my wrists, and then he lowered his voice and added,
I won't believe you unless you try.
I nodded, knowing he meant it, even though what he wanted me to do was impossible. Okay. I gave in, since that was the only way he would let me go. I'll try. His grip around my wrists loosened, and I breathed steadily, trying to calm down as I called on the white energy. It came to me as always. But when I tried to push it toward Rachel's body, nothing happened. I might as well have been trying to get it to enter a rock. Instead of being absorbed into her, it simply left my body and re-entered the universe. It's too late for me to help her, I told him again, pulling my hands off her body and wrapping my arms around myself. I looked up at him and met his eyes. Desperate for him to believe me. I tried. I really did. But I can't. I can't bring back the dead. Ethan stared at me, his gaze hollow.
You chose Blake over Rachel,
he said, his voice void of emotion.
Rachel was bitten first, but it didn't matter. You went to Blake instead. You let Rachel die.
It wasn't like that. I backed toward the wall, unable to peel my eyes away from Rachel's bloated body. A stomach injury kills faster than a shoulder injury. I had to take that into account when I went to Blake first. If it hadn't been for the poison, Rachel would have been okay. I would have been able to get to her in time to save her.
Maybe you could have, even with the poison.
His eyes gleamed with hate.
If you hadn't wasted time making out with your boyfriend when Rachel was over here, dying.
His words cut like a knife in my heart. Because he was right. I hadn't thought those few seconds would matter, but if I'd run over to Rachel instead of kissing Blake, there was a chance she might have been okay. This was my fault. And to make it worse, if I could go back and do it again, I still would go to Blake first. I wouldn't spend those few seconds kissing him, but I would still make the choice to let Rachel lay there, dying as the poison burned through her veins, while I was healing Blake. I also couldn't ignore the relief that I felt while looking at Rachel. Relief that this same painful death hadn't happened to Blake. I was an awful person for feeling that way. But it was true. Now, my hands were covered in blood. Rachel and Blake's blood. And I wiped them on my jeans, kneading it off of me. And as I stumbled away from Rachel's body, I was reminded again that I'd failed. I couldn't keep my promise to her and Ethan to keep them safe. I thought I could, but I couldn't. And I would have to live with that guilt for the rest of my life.
Chapter 48.
I was still staring at Rachel's body when a scream from one of the others, Kate, brought me back into focus. She tried to slash one of the Hydra's heads, but it snapped its jaws at her, its fangs narrowly missing her leg. Despite the tragedy that had just happened, I couldn't stay here with Rachel, mourning how I hadn't been able to save her. The Hydra had 4 heads left, each of them snarling and snapping the air, ready to sink their poisonous fangs into anyone who came near. The others were using their weapons to hold it off, but none of them were getting close enough to slice off another head. I needed to help my friends. I needed to fight. So I grabbed my bow from behind my back and strung it with an arrow, zeroing in on my target. Then I unleashed the arrow, sending it straight into one of the Hydra's eyes. The Hydra screamed, and blood poured out of the ruined eye, burning its flesh as it ran down its face. I did it again and again, each shot of the arrow releasing more of my anger until every single one of its eyes gushed with blood. Now the heads flailed in the air, chomping madly but aimlessly, and I knew it had worked. I'd blinded the Hydra.
"Nice job, Nicole,"
Chris yelled back to me. The Hydra lunged one of its heads toward him, and he jumped out of its way, leaving it to chomp on the air. Once sure he was out of its reach, he stuck his tongue out at it and raised a fist in victory. While he was celebrating, Kate snuck up behind one of the other heads and slashed it off with her sword. The head fell to the ground and rolled to its foot.
"It only knows where we are now by hearing us," Kate said, jumping out of the way of another head. "Since it's blind, we have a huge advantage. We have to use that and sneak up on it quietly."
Chris flew Blake up from behind, and he sent fire into the open wound. The other heads didn't even know he was there until he was finished. It worked so well that they kept doing that, sneaking up and chopping off one head, cauterizing the neck, and then moving on to the next, until only the immortal central head remained.
"Who wants to do the honors?"
Chris asked, motioning to the flailing head.
"I will,"
Blake said, turning to the Hydra and raising his sword.
"This is what you get for trying to kill me."
He swung the sword at the neck, but it clanged against it, like metal on metal, and the weapon flew out of his grip. He backed away as the Hydra snapped its teeth where it thought he was. The monster snarled when it caught only air, and Blake tiptoed around it to retrieve his sword.
"Seriously?"
Chris chuckled and swung his sword around, as if confident that he could do this.
I guess this is going to be left to me.
He snuck up on the Hydra from the other side, raised his sword, and brought it down on the neck. But the same thing happened to him that had happened to Blake. His mouth widened as the sword flew out of his grip, and he watched it bounce off the wall and fall to the ground.
It's like trying to cut through metal,
he yelled, running to retrieve his sword. He picked it up and examined it, as if searching for a defect.
It isn't working.
Because that's the immortal head, Kate said. It can't be killed with mortal weapons.
If it can't be killed with mortal weapons, then how are we going to slay this thing? Danielle asked, pointing at what was left of the Hydra. The book told us we had the weapons we needed. Before anyone could answer, another one of its legs forced its way out of the tree roots that had been restraining it, stretching once it was free. Only two legs were still secured. And judging by how the roots holding the back legs were cracking and popping, I doubted they would hold for long. Once the Hydra got loose, how were we supposed to protect ourselves against the immortal head when our weapons were powerless to stop it? We wouldn't be able to. Maybe we could cut it off with our powers long enough to escape the cave, but then we'd have failed the task we'd come out here to complete. Everything we'd been through on this journey would have been for nothing. We couldn't fail. I wouldn't let Rachel's death be in vain. So I did the only thing I could think to do. I gathered as much black energy as possible by thinking about how much I hated this monster that had killed Rachel and had almost killed Blake, sprinted towards the Hydra, and placed my palms on its chest, sending the darkness into its body and killing it on the spot. Chapter 49. The Hydra let out its final breath, and I hurried out of the way as it collapsed to the ground. It crashed down legs first, then its shoulders, all its headless necks, and finally the immortal head. Dust poofed up from under it, and I coughed a few times, holding my elbow over my mouth to stop myself from breathing it in. Once the dust settled, all was silent.
What was that?
Chris was the first to speak.
Nicole, what did you do to it?
I stared at the body of the Hydra, speechless. Because what could I possibly say? They'd all seen me use black energy. This wasn't like the Harpy, where I could say that it was the stalagmite to the heart that had killed her. Or like with the pirate on the land of the Lotus Eaters, where everyone had been too focused on their own fights to pay attention to what I was doing. They'd seen the Hydra die at my touch. I had to tell them the truth. My power heals. I kept my gaze focused on the Hydra, afraid of seeing their reactions once they learned what I'd done. But it can also do the opposite. It can kill. Blake stepped closer to me, resting his hands on my shoulder.
Have you done this before?
He asked, his eyes flashing with concern.
Because if you haven't, if this was the first time testing it out, you never should have risked your life like that.
If it hadn't worked, yes, I've done it before, I interrupted, and he relaxed, but not much. I did it with the Harpy in the cave. It wasn't the stalagmite that killed her. It was when I touched her afterward. And on the land of the Lotus Eaters, I killed that pirate who was attacking me, just by touching him. My voice shook as I said the last part, fearful of what they would think of me now that they knew the truth. Would they think I was a monster, just like the ones they were trying to fight? Blake didn't pull away from me, but his eyes flashed with something else. Betrayal. It hurt to have him look at me like that, but I supposed I couldn't blame him. I would probably feel the same way if I were him.
You've known this for a month, and you didn't tell us until now,
he said, his voice so calm that it was clear he was holding back anger.
Why?
The others were quiet as well, waiting for an answer. Because to heal, I have to use white energy. I flexed my hand, thinking about the warmth of the white energy that flowed through me when I healed. But to kill, I have to use... I swallowed, dreading whatever reaction was going to come after I said it. Black energy.
Black energy? Kate repeated, her eyes wide. But that's illegal.
And black energy doesn't kill, Danielle added.
It tortures. I've never heard of a witch using any type of energy to kill. It shouldn't be possible.
Witches have also never been able to heal. Or to manipulate the elements, I reminded her. Why is this any less possible than what we can already do?
I believe you, Blake said, his gaze still locked on mine. But you still haven't answered my question. Why didn't you tell us until now?
Because it's illegal. I shrugged and glanced at the ground. I thought...
You didn't think we would turn you in?
He asked. His eyes widened when I said nothing.
We would never do that.
His jaw hardened, and he looked at the others for confirmation.
Right? Of course not,
Chris said. And the others all echoed their agreements. Once it sunk in that they meant it, I relaxed for the first time since killing the Hydra. Relieved that they were all on my side. And guilty that I hadn't trusted them to begin with.
Maybe they won't say anything.
Ethan spoke up, still hunched over Rachel's body. His eyes were dark, haunted, and focused only on me.
But I know how dangerous you can be. You killed the Hydra with a touch. What's to stop you from doing that to anyone who gets in your way?
I would never use my power unless it was absolutely necessary, I told him, shocked that he would think otherwise. The Hydra was a monster. It had to be stopped. If I hadn't killed it, it would have killed us first.
But you don't only kill monsters,
he said.
What about that pirate on the land of the Lotus Eaters? I lived with them for over 2 years. They're all good people. It's not their fault they got stuck there. None of them deserve to die.
He was attacking me, I said, although guilt wavered in my voice at the reminder of the way his eyes had glazed over when I'd used my power on him. He had no idea it was coming. I had no choice. If I didn't do it, he would have killed me first.
We all killed back there, Blake added. We had to. What does it matter if we did it with a sword, or with our elements, or with black energy? The end result is still the same. And Nicole's ability saved us in here. If it wasn't for her, the Hydra would still be trying to kill us. We owe her our lives.
I squeezed his hand, thanking him for his support, and he squeezed it back.
Except that Nicole killed one of us, Ethan said. When she kissed you, instead of running over to save my sister.
I looked down at the ground, guilt welling in my chest again. Because Ethan was right. I'd made a choice. A terrible choice. And because of it, Rachel had died a horrible death. And there was nothing I could say to make it better. Rachel was gone, and despite my promise to Ethan that I wouldn't let anything happen to either of them, I couldn't bring her back.
Rachel was dead before Nicole finished healing Blake, Danielle said, and I whipped my head up, surprised to find her standing up for me. And she would have been fine if she'd stuck to our plan. Instead, she ignored it and ran up to the Hydra, knowing that Blake wasn't nearby to cauterize the neck. If she'd waited for him to finish, the heads wouldn't have had time to grow back and attack her. She would still be alive.
You're not seriously blaming her for dying.
Ethan stood up, his fists clenched, narrowing his eyes at Danielle.
Are you?
Danielle flexed her fists, and I wondered if she was about to rain hell upon him.
Can you all please stop fighting about this?
Kate broke in, so strongly that her voice filled the cave. We all stopped talking and stared at her. I've never heard Kate speak so loudly, ever. Her cheeks flushed, and when she spoke again, it was at her normal volume.
What happened to Rachel was horrible, she continued. Ethan, you have to know that none of us wanted this for her. And while I know that nothing will ever be able to make this better, I hope that this will help.
She walked silently over to Rachel's body, kneeled down next to her, and placed her hands on the ground. Ethan stood next to her, his arms crossed as he watched her. The two of them blocked my view of Rachel, but soon the cave started to rumble, as if the ground was shifting. The ceiling broke apart into a small circle overhead, sunlight shining above them. Soon, the rumbling stopped, and Kate moved away, revealing what she'd done. Rachel's body was now buried under a mound of dirt, and on top of it grew flowers in every color you could imagine. In the center was a stone, and I stepped closer to see what it said. Here lies Rachel Thompson, daughter of Zeus and Bella Thompson. At 17 years old, her life was taken in this cave while she was helping to slay the Hydra. The blood of the Hydra she helped destroy will aid in saving the world as we know it. May her bravery always be remembered.
The flowers will never die, Kate said, brushing her fingers over a yellow rose. I know it can't bring her back, but I hated the thought of leaving her here the way she was.
Thank you,
Ethan said. His voice was devoid of emotion. I couldn't imagine what he was feeling right now. But he did give Kate a small nod of appreciation. The rest of us remained silent. There was nothing we could say or do to fix this. Instead, we lowered our heads and paid our respects to Rachel. I wished more than anything that I could promise myself to never let anyone die on my watch again. But that would be impossible. Accidents happened. Choices would always have to be made. I didn't regret saving Blake, and I wouldn't always be able to save everyone, no matter how much I wished otherwise. What happened today would always remind me of that unfortunate truth. After a few minutes, Danielle finally spoke. The longer we're gone, the more Hypatia will worry, she said softly. Let's collect what we came here for and head back. Kate handed out the Ziploc bags she'd brought with her, and we used them to collect as much blood from the Hydra as we could manage. Since the blood was poisonous, we were careful not to touch it. Once the bags were full, we packed them up and walked silently back to the yacht. One less than we'd been when we'd arrived. It was crazy to realize that the secret I'd kept guarded for so long was now out in the open. I'd feared that once the others knew, they would be scared of me, that they would be afraid to even touch me. But for the entire way back, Blake's hand never left mine. Chapter 50. Hypatia's face fell the moment she saw our group.
Is Rachel?
She started, although she must have figured it out, because she stopped speaking and raised her hand to her mouth, unable to complete the sentence.
She didn't make it,
Ethan said, walking past her without meeting her eyes. As if in a trance, he continued through the living area and disappeared down the steps to the rooms, not looking behind him once. "He hasn't had time to process it," I explained. "He probably needs some time alone."
"Yes," Hypatia nodded. "I'll get a staff member to prepare a meal for him and drop it off in his room, in case he gets hungry."
Once she did that, we filled her in on everything that had happened with the Hydra, including what I told the others about my ability.
"This is all true?"
she asked once we'd finished.
"You kept the truth a secret for so long because you were afraid we would punish you for what you can do?"
"Yes." I bowed my head, ready for whatever was coming next. "It's in the laws. Any witch found using black energy will be sent to trial, and if found guilty, the punishment is that they will be stripped of their powers. Or worse, death." Blake dropped his gun on the table and stepped closer to Hypatia.
"Who cares about the law?" he said. "Nicole's only used her powers to save lives. You can't punish her for that. Please back down."
Hypatia spoke calmly, but threateningly enough that Blake did as she said.
"We have these laws in place for a reason," she continued. "Without them, chaos could ensue, and we couldn't have that. As a head elder, I've taken an oath to honor the laws no matter what."
"You can't be serious," Danielle exclaimed. "We were only able to slay the Hydra because of Nicole's ability. Without her, more than one of us might not have made it back today."
"I am perfectly serious," Hypatia said.
Although when I finally got the courage to look back up at her, her lips twitched with the hint of a smile. "But, luckily for us, Nicole is a demigod, not a witch. So, according to the wording of the law, which specifically states that any witch who uses black energy must be punished, it doesn't apply to her." It took a few seconds for what she was saying to sink in. "Seriously?" I finally said, letting out a long breath of relief. "I'm not going to get in trouble?"
"Not at all," she said.
"As I'm sure you know, when witches use black energy, it tortures. It doesn't kill. What you can do is unique to your element of ether, the spirit of life. Your ability, all of your abilities, have been gifted to you from the gods themselves. It's not up to me or any other head elder to question the plans of the gods."
"Thank you," I said, and without a second thought, I pulled Hypatia into a hug. I couldn't believe that all of my worries for the past month had been for nothing. I didn't have to hide what I could do anymore. I could use my power to help myself, the others, and everyone else in the world whose lives would be at risk if the Titans returned.
She relaxed and returned my hug. But when she pulled away, she straightened her shoulders, becoming a serious, authoritative head elder once more.
"I know it's been a long day," she said. "But now that we have all three of the required ingredients, I think it's best that we create the formula and apply it to your weapons. You shouldn't have to go one more minute without being armed to the fullest."
We all agreed, and as the yacht pulled away from the island, we set to work.
Chapter 51. "First, we have to coat the tip of the weapon with the sacred milk," Kate said, doing so with one of my arrows. "The milk will keep the weapon from decaying due to the poison from the blood. Then add a drop of the Hydra blood lotus seed mixture."
She took a dropper and let one drop of the mixture fall onto the place where she'd coated the arrow with the milk. It hissed and dried on contact, turning a deep, rusty red.
"Now, whenever any creature is killed with this arrow, it will be sent to limbo for an entire year," she said, handing the arrow to me.
I held the arrow up to the light and inspected it. It'll work like that forever? I asked.
It'll have to be refreshed after a month, she said. But once we close the portal to Kerberos, we won't need to use the formula anymore. And we gathered more than enough of each ingredient than we could possibly need. We shouldn't have to worry about running out.
Of course Nicole's weapon got to go first, Danielle said, rolling her eyes. Can one of us lowly, non-demigods have a turn now?
I wasn't sure if I was imagining it or not, but was Danielle's snark not coming off as mean as usual? If I didn't know any better, I would think she was talking to me in the way she might tease a friend. I shook the thought away. Danielle might be learning to tolerate me, but there was no chance she actually liked me. Now that the potion was ready, we took turns putting the formula on our weapons. Once we finished and were packing everything up, the yawn started.
It's been a long day, Danielle said in between yawns. I'm gonna head to bed.
Me too, Kate said. Chris, will you help me bring the weapons downstairs? He pointed to the kitchen.
I actually wanted to grab some more food first.
Chris!
Kate repeated his name, glancing at Blake and me, and then back to Chris again. Her cheeks turned bright pink. She couldn't have been more obvious about her intention to give Blake and me some alone time if she'd tried.
Just come downstairs and help me with the weapons, okay?
Right,
he said sheepishly, gathering a huge bundle of arrows in his arms.
Let's bring these downstairs.
Soon enough, the three of them were gone, and Blake and I were finally alone.
So,
he said, smirking and leaning back against the table.
Want to go up to the top deck?
Is that your way of asking if I want to go make out? I teased. Like when a guy asks to sit in the back row of the movie theater. I didn't get to finish my sentence, because the next thing I knew, Blake's lips were on mine. And whatever else I was thinking about was erased from my mind. I melted into his kiss, and it was like that one kiss made up for the tons of kisses we'd missed this past month when I was being so stubborn about keeping my distance from him. I couldn't believe I'd been such an idiot. But I was more thankful than ever that I was here with him now. And after losing Rachel today, I was determined not to let one more second go by when I would take Blake's being here for granted again.
I don't need to bring you to the top deck to kiss you,
he said when he finally pulled away.
But I did think it might be a nice place to hang out.
A nice place to hang out? I quoted, chuckling.
You mean, you thought it would be romantic?
That's another way to put it.
He reached for my hand and pulled me toward the steps, a mischievous glint in his eyes.
Come on. I don't know if you've noticed, given all the monster slaying we've been doing, but for the past few days, we've been on a private yacht in Greece. I think it's about time we enjoyed it.
Chapter 52. The next morning, I woke up to the heat of the sun on my face. I opened my eyes and saw Blake sprawled out on the cushion next to me, still fast asleep. I smiled as I thought about what we'd talked about last night, how we'd agreed to officially be together. When we weren't talking, we spent the rest of the night kissing, making up for lost time. I didn't remember laying down and closing my eyes, but we must have been so exhausted from slaying the Hydra that we'd fallen asleep up here. Not wanting to wake him, I tiptoed across the deck and went downstairs to indulge in an extra long hot shower. It was the first time since our arrival that we weren't rushing to complete the next task on our mission, and it was nice to finally have some time to myself. Once I emerged, everyone else was up and about, and I went upstairs to join them for breakfast. I sat next to Blake, and we shared a secret smile. If anyone else noticed, they didn't say a thing. The only person who wasn't there was Ethan.
No one spoke of him, but his absence weighed on me for the entire meal. He shouldn't be left alone during such a hard time. "How's Ethan doing?" I asked, once we'd finished eating. "Has anyone talked to him?"
"I did last night," Hypatia said. "He requested to be sent back home as soon as possible."
"How soon?" I asked.
"He asked me to get him after breakfast, so he could say goodbye to all of you."
"Wow," Kate said. "So, he's going home right now?"
"Yes," she nodded. "I spoke with the head elder of Perth a few hours ago, and she'll be waiting for him at the exit of the portal. I filled her in on everything that happened to him, so she'll be prepared to help him adjust back to his regular life. It's going to be difficult for him, but he's a strong boy. I trust he'll make it out of this okay."
"I hope so," I said, although when I remembered the emptiness in his eyes when his sister died, and the accusation in his voice when he blamed me for her death, I knew he would never be the same. Hypatia went downstairs to tell him it was time to leave. I was nervous to see him. I'd expected him to be a mess, and to still be angry with me. But when he joined us in the main area, I was surprised by how strong he looked. He'd showered, put on fresh clothes, and he had his sword at his hip. Every bit a son of Zeus.
"I assume Hypatia already told you that I'm leaving," he said,
his voice surprisingly steady.
"But before I go, I wanted to thank all of you. If you hadn't come to the land of the Lotus Eaters, Rachel and I would have been stuck on that island for eternity, under the spell of the lotus fruit, having no idea who we were or where we came from."
His voice choked up when he said his sister's name, and I looked down at my hands, guilt filling my chest as I replayed what had happened to her. Rachel should be here with him now, going home to see their mom for the first time in over 2 years. Instead, she was buried in the cave of the Hydra. Her family would never see her again, and there was nothing that any of us could do to bring her back.
"And Nicole?"
Ethan continued, and I whipped my head up, surprised that he was talking to me.
"I know you would have saved Rachel if you could have. I'm sorry that it wasn't possible."
"Me too," I told him, figuring that was the closest thing to an apology that I would get. Hypatia stepped forward, her hands clasped in front of her.
"Have you given any more thought about what you're going to tell your mom?" she asked him.
"Yes,"
he nodded.
"I've decided to tell her the truth. Rachel would have wanted her to know what really happened to her."
A tear dropped out of my eye, and I brushed it off my cheek. Because Ethan was right. Our parents deserved to know the truth about us. I'd kept everything secret from my family since finding out about what I am, because I thought that would be the best way to keep them safe. But lying to them was eating at my soul every day. And until I came clean, the lies would never be able to stop. As Hypatia prepared the portal, Ethan toyed with the chain around his neck. The amulet from his father was under his shirt, but seeing it reminded me of one more thing. "I have one question before you leave," I said to him, and he looked at me, as if waiting for me to continue. "How does your amulet work? You just think of your father while you're wearing it, and he comes to you?"
"I have to be touching it," he said,
reaching for the chain again.
"It doesn't work every time. I guess it depends on how busy my dad is. But whenever I've really needed him, he comes."
"Thank you," I said. "Hopefully it'll work the same way with my father, too." Blake took my hand, and I leaned into him, feeling stronger than ever. Because yes, I wanted to speak with my father more than anything. But I'd gotten this far without him. And I knew that going forward, Blake and the others would have my back. That even included Danielle, which was something I would have never thought possible if you'd asked me when I'd first moved here. But somehow, in the past few weeks, they'd all become my family. We watched Ethan walk through the portal, and his gaze locked with mine the moment before he disappeared. I froze in place, a shiver running down my spine at the way he'd looked at me. Because even though he'd apologized, I recognized the look in his eyes. Pure, absolute hate. He still blamed me for Rachel's death, and I had a sinking feeling that despite what he'd said, he would never truly be able to forgive me. I couldn't blame him, because even though I wanted to move forward, I wasn't sure if I was ever going to be able to forgive myself either. Nicole and the Elemental story continues in Book 3, The Head of Medusa. Elementals 3, The Head of Medusa. Chapter 1.
What was it like growing up in Georgia? You lived on a farm, a peach tree farm, right?
Blake sat across from me at dinner, watching me as I dipped a piece of bread into the fondue pot of cheese. I spun the bread around so the cheese was evenly dispersed. Unable to keep myself from chuckling as I thought about the answer to his question.
What?
He leaned forward, clearly concerned.
It was a peach tree farm, right?
It was, I nodded. But that's not why I was laughing.
Hmm.
He dipped a carrot into the cheese and popped it into his mouth, chewing thoughtfully. Once finished, he said,
"Since you're obviously not volunteering the information, then I guess I'll ask, what's so funny?"
This. I motioned around the fancy fondue restaurant where people ate and chatted as if they had no cares in the world. Us, trying to pretend like we're normal.
I thought that was the point of this first official date,
he asked,
for us to go out like a normal couple.
I smiled when he said it. A couple. After all the craziness these past few months since I'd moved to Kinsley, Massachusetts, and discovered that I was a witch descended from the Greek gods, Blake and I were finally an official couple. Up until recently, I didn't think it would happen, because when I first met Blake, he had a girlfriend, Danielle. Their relationship was on the rocks, but even so, they were still together. He eventually broke up with her, but by then, me, Blake, Danielle, Kate, and Chris had been gifted with elemental powers by the gods themselves. As Darius, the elder of our town and the person in charge of teaching young witches how to use our powers, explained to us, we'd been chosen because the gods believed we were the five who could stop the Titans from returning to Earth from the prison world. Kerberos, that they'd been locked in thousands of years ago. The only thing keeping the Titans from Earth was a sealed portal between Earth and Kerberos. But that portal was weakening enough that a few less powerful monsters were able to sneak through. Our job was to destroy those monsters before they harmed anyone in the mortal world. We also have a larger job, to seal the portal before it opens completely on the summer solstice. We still weren't sure how we were supposed to do that, but along with training every day, we were researching to find the answers. We had a lot on our plates. So after Blake and Danielle had broken up, I considered him off limits. We had to focus on our mission, and I didn't want any personal drama between the three of us to mess that up. There was also another reason why I'd been hesitant to let Blake in. Soon after receiving our elemental's powers, I'd realized that my power to heal with a touch wasn't all that I could do. I had the ability to kill with a touch too. But to kill, I had to call upon black energy,
which, according to witch law, is illegal.
Witches caught using black magic could have their power stripped. Or worse, they could be killed. Terrified of the consequences, I didn't tell anyone about the darker side of my ability. Not even Blake. And since it would be impossible to get close to him without telling him the truth about my power, I'd kept my distance, making sure we were never alone together. But last month, we realized that the monsters we thought we'd killed weren't really dead. They were just being sent back to Kerberos, where they could escape again. We learned that we needed to gather 3 magical items to create a potion for our weapons that would put the monsters in limbo for a year so they couldn't come back. The 3 items could only be found on the hidden magical islands in Greece. So, the 5 of us journeyed there to retrieve them. Blake and I grew closer during that journey. After a talk I had with Danielle, where she told me that she wouldn't let any personal drama between us distract her from our mission, Blake and I finally decided to be together. And now, 2 weeks after returning home, Blake and I were on our first official date as boyfriend and girlfriend. I'd been anxious about the date for the past few days. I'd never been on a real date before. The adult kind of date, where he made a reservation at one of the nicest restaurants in town for a Saturday night, picked me up, and we sat down to talk and learn more about each other. It always looked so romantic in the movies. And when Blake asked me out earlier that week, I jumped to say yes. The date was supposed to be perfect. But so far, it was going terribly. In an attempt to be normal, we'd agreed to avoid mentioning magic. But because magic had brought us together, we were straining for things to talk about. It was awkward, and awkward was not how I wanted our first date to be. I was laughing because my life in Georgia doesn't feel like it was mine anymore, I finally said. I've changed so much since moving here. Now that I know what I am, I feel like I have a real purpose in my life. I'd never had that before. So it seems silly to pretend like we're a normal couple when we're so much more than that. He rested his elbows on the table and leaned forward, his gaze locked on mine. His warm, burnt brown eyes were becoming so familiar that I'd memorized the placement of each fleck of gold within them.
"Does that mean you're ready to stop forcing all this small talk?"
he asked.
"Because I definitely am."
"Yes," I said, not needing to think twice about it. I hate pretending that everything that makes us, us, the magic, our abilities, and the adventures, doesn't exist. Pretending makes me feel like there's a wall between us. Besides, why should we try to be normal? Normal is boring.
"Good," he said, holding his hand above the fondue pot.
"Because this cheese is getting cold, and I know just how to fix it."
Seconds later, the cheese simmered, fresh waves of steam drifting up from it toward the ceiling. I dipped another piece of bread into it, pleased to find that it was now the perfect temperature. "How did you do that?" I asked once I'd finished chewing. "I thought these stoves were electric." None of us could create our element. We could only manipulate it. Chris, Danielle, and I were lucky since our element surrounded us at all times. It was a bit more difficult for Danielle because if she wasn't around liquid water, she had to pull the water out of the air. But she'd eventually gotten the hang of it. Kate needed to be near the earth to use her ability. She'd been powerless at sea, so far away from her element. And Blake carried his lighter at all times so he wasn't at a disadvantage. Thanks to electricity, people rarely relied on actual fire anymore, unless it was for aesthetic purposes.
"There's a spark of fire in electricity," he said. "To control fire, all I need is a spark."
But I thought it was too hard to do that with electricity without making it short-circuit or explode.
I've been practicing,
he smirked.
Why? Are you impressed?
Very. I leaned forward, feeling more energized than I had all night. Especially since you did it without even seeing the burner. It was amazing how far we'd come in using our powers. My ability was unique because it was the power over spirit. And spirit wasn't something that could be seen. But the others each could control a physical element. Blake was fire. Danielle was water. Kate was earth. And Chris was air. Until recently, we thought they had to see their element to use it. But in Greece, we were in a life or death situation while fighting the Hydra. And Kate made tree roots grow into the cave, even though the trees weren't in her line of sight. That moment taught us that with more focus, it was possible to control elements without having to see them. Does it take up more of your energy to do that? I asked.
It does,
he nodded.
But warming up our cheese is hardly going to drain my energy completely.
So you were just showing off then, I teased.
Of course,
he said.
After all, I have a hot date to impress.
His words made me blush, and I reached for the sun pendant on my necklace, running my fingers over the charm. The pendant had been sent to me by Apollo, my father. Yes, that Apollo, the Olympian god. But even though my father was a god, my mom was still a human, which made me a mix of the two, a demigod. I was the only demigod in our group of five. The others were descendants of the gods, like most witches. Actual demigods were rare. I'd only met two others, Ethan and Rachel, who were twin children of Zeus. We met them in Greece when we saved them from being trapped forever on the land of the Lotus Eaters. To thank us for rescuing them, they helped us on the rest of our mission. But Rachel, who had been impulsive and quick to show off, lost her life during the battle with the Hydra. She and Blake had been injured at the same time, but Blake's injury was worse, so I'd rushed to save him first. What I hadn't known was that the bite of the Hydra was poisonous, and that it killed quickly. By the time I went to Rachel to heal her, she was already gone. At that point, there was nothing I could do. My ability to heal didn't extend to resurrecting the dead. Ethan blamed me at first, but after sleeping on it, he told me that he understood why I'd saved Blake first. Then he went back home to Australia, and none of us had heard from him since. I wanted to reach out to him. After all, he was the only other demigod I knew. But I was afraid he wouldn't want to hear from me after his sister's death. So I kept my distance. But there was so much I wanted to ask him. Because unlike me, he'd met his father. We'd all met his father when Zeus had dropped by our yacht in Greece to help us on our mission. Sure, Zeus hadn't raised Ethan and Rachel, but at least he'd bothered to introduce himself. What had I done to make my father want nothing to do with me? Blake watched as I toyed with my necklace, and his expression turned serious.
Have you tried to contact your father again at all? He asked.
His voice was softer than before, as if he were afraid that bringing it up might upset me. Yeah. I pulled my hand away from the necklace, and the pendant fell back onto my chest. I've been trying every night, before I go to bed. Nothing ever happens. I should probably give up, since he's obviously ignoring me. But I can't bring myself to do that. Because what if the night I give up is the night he would have replied? Blake frowned, and he grabbed my hand, stopping me from reaching for the pendant again.
You have to remember that the gods are busy,
he said.
Especially with the portal to Kerberos weakening. When Ethan and Rachel used their pendants to call for Zeus, we needed his help. Maybe Apollo hasn't come yet, because you're strong enough that you don't need him.
Thanks, I chuckled, although it felt hollow. You somehow managed to turn that into a compliment.
Well, it's true, he said.
Maybe, I shrugged. But I don't know. Part of me hopes that Apollo is stuck in the Olympian god prison, and that he wants to see me, but he's trapped, and he can't. At least that would be a good reason for him staying away.
But he managed